ball in the middle of the field and picked him. We'll hand it off to Borsa. 25, 20, Borsa to the 15, to the 10, to the house! Touchdown, Kyle Borsa! His first touchdown in Ram colors!
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies. Just love the pizza and pasta over there at Pizza Hut. And man, I'm definitely a big fan of their breadsticks. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his awesome work at markgreshner.com. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ by calling 306-502-5355. Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum yellow peas or chickpeas. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Get your home ready this fall with window washing, pressure washing, and gutter cleaning. TheBoysNextDoor.ca is their website. And Face First Medical Aesthetics, where you lose your wrinkles, not your edge. Always put your best face first. Go see them above Gabbo's on Dewdney Avenue. And our guest here in Growing the Game with Ballsy in our Where Are They Now segment for Doubles at Ag Sales out there in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Check out Corey Zadorozniak out there at Doubles at Ag Sales in Weyburn. And our guest, like I said, is Andrew Buckley, former Calgary Dino quarterback, former Calgary Stampeders quarterback, aspiring to be a doctor. Andrew, what kind of doctor?
Yeah, hard to say, really. I'm kind of 6 months from having to make a decision, so right now everything's pretty general, and everything seems to be kind of new and exciting as I'm going through my last of the rotations here. So for right now, keeping an open mind and seeing what else is going to present.
Yeah, were you leaning one way or another before you started this?
Yeah, before I started, I was kind of looking into the surgical route, still very much keeping that on the table, and I'm very interested in the MSK sort of stuff, orthopedics, sportsmen, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, interesting times to be a doctor in COVID-19.
Yeah, no doubt. The whole medical world has kind of been flipped on its head over this past 6 months. And, certainly there's, I guess, no better or no time with greater need for physicians right now. It's there's just lots going on, and the health of people is top of priority for a lot of people.
Now, you walked away from football to go into medical school. I'll get into that in a second, but how about Duvernay-Tardif there down east? He's in Quebec helping out there, wins a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, walks away from $2.some million to be a doctor. Would you have done that if you were in the NFL?
Oh, it's a decision that a lot of people give him a ton of credit for, and I do too. I think that's a hard choice to make, and he obviously did a bit of soul searching and came up with a strong answer, and I think people should applaud him for what he did. And it's hard to say what I would have done. NFL salary is hard to walk away from, but damn, he's an impressive guy, and I applaud what he's doing.
Was it hard for you to walk away? How much soul searching did you have to do? Why did you do it? Because let's face it, you could be a doctor forever. You can only play pro football for a certain window. Was it hard for you to walk away?
Oh, yeah, that without a doubt was probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make. I think walking away from the team was, gut-wrenching. I felt like I was kind of giving up on the guys. And fortunately, when I was able to, show them the opportunity I had in front of me, a lot of them were, so supportive that it basically left no doubt in my mind that it was a good choice, that, it's an opportunity that few have, and I'd been trying for several years to get into medical school, and so when I finally did, I had to take it. It wasn't something I was going to risk not getting in the future, so it was a tough choice. I still look back sometimes and think that, whether it was the right choice or not, but right now, very happy with where I'm at, and happy to have had the 2 years experience playing CFL. It was a dream come true, and I made a lot of good friends and a lot of good memories out of it.
When did you want football to be your dream? Like, you had your dad's a doctor, so that's always been in your blood. But, like, when did football get into your blood? When did you realize that, hey, this could become something for me?
For me, it was really, really late. Coming out of high school, I didn't think I was ever going to make a university team. And I started out 8th string on the Dinos quarterback list, and so I was, you know, barely even considering a university career. And then, you know, sort of about 4th or 5th year when I realized, hey, I'm starting to have some success at this and starting to, you know, become one of the best in the CIS as a quarterback, I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot. And then I got the invite to the combine, which was something I'd never dreamed of. I always saw teammates and, you know, you always hear of the Canadian linemen having a lot of success. And so I was thinking, well, I'm not a lineman, so I probably won't get a shot. And then, you know, sure enough, I was able to go to a few Stamps camps there and, you know, show the coaches what I had. And they gave me a shot, which was pretty darn cool. So even for me, it didn't even consider as an option until, you know, I was standing in training camp there and getting reps with the team. So it's, it just maybe sometimes hard as a Canadian kid to, or as a Canadian quarterback especially, to see the the door open there. It's a small door to jump through there, but no, I'm glad I got the opportunity when I did.
Yeah, so how much did that weigh into your decision? I mean, you got to look after Andrew Buckley, but let's face it, for the Canadians out there playing quarterback, they looked up to a guy like you. Like, this is a guy, he got to start, he got to play when there was injuries, he got to be in the Grey Cup and do some meaningful things. I mean, you know, that can't be easy either, because we haven't had a star at Canadian quarterback since Russ Jackson.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right, and I, you know, I felt a bit of weight on my shoulders that way, and it was a cool position to be in, to, you know, be at the forefront of something there as far as Canadian quarterbacking goes. And you know, I look at a guy like Brandon Bridge, who you know, carried the weight on his shoulders as well, and did a darn good job of pushing that forward. So it was a cool spot to be in, and I certainly didn't take it for granted. I tried to make the best of my opportunity, but, you know, at the end of the day, I had to make a bit of a long term life move there, and I think medicine was a good choice for me.
Yeah, so you had a great coach in Coach Dickey there, the other Coach Dickey. We have our own here in Regina, but you got you got Dave there, who definitely was he was a scrapper and a clawer coming out of Montana, and then obviously an undersized guy, maybe the best pocket presence of a quarterback ever. You had to be that small, but you had to have an open-minded coach to give you a chance to go through that small crack that you alluded to. Do you believe, though, there is really a bias against the Canadian quarterback, especially coming out of Canadian university? Because I, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I look at Adam Sinagra. It's hard for me to believe that nobody would spend even a late round draft pick on Adam Sinagra. It makes me scratch my head. I use this as an example. Like, Colton Claussen's a great player, and the Alouettes took him with the, you know, the 6th round pick or whatever, and he's a scrappy guy to the U of S, but he had that horrific leg break, Andrew. And you think, okay, well, he's kind of an unknown, but they use a draft pick on him and not on Adam Sinagra. What, does that make you kind of scratch your head as a guy who was there before Adam, before Michael O'Connor?
Yeah. No, I was watching the draft very closely and, you know, texting Adam throughout it. And I have to say, I was extremely disappointed that he didn't get his name called that day. I think if anyone deserved to, he's put up a CIS career that absolutely warrants getting drafted. And he's a guy that I think coming out of CIS or U Sport, you know, I think he was way better prepared than I was to play at the pro level. I think that it really is a shame that guys like him aren't getting a look. And he's a guy that's going to go into a camp and I think do some pretty impressive things, considering that that he hasn't been drafted. So it, you know, I kind of struggle with the mindset behind it, and I don't quite understand it, despite having been there. But, you know, there does seem to be this, you know, preconceived notion that Canadian guys coming out of Canadian colleges can't compete at that level. But, you know, you got a guy who's consistently put up a winning record, and he's playing in CFL pro style systems with coaches that have coached at the CFL level, and he's, you know, still not getting a look. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to change, but I think slowly, steadily, we're kind of putting our right foot forward here and moving in the right direction, but it's going to take some more work.
Did you feel that mentality, though, Andrew? You're kind of alluding to that. It feels like the Canadian quarterback has to really prove in limited reps that he can do it, where the American guy coming up here, doesn't matter if it's Div 2, he has to prove that he can't do it. He gets a longer leash.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It as a Canadian guy coming in, I felt like I had to do, you know, a lot more right, and I do have to give, you know, the coaching staff, mm-hmm. the Stamps, a ton of credit, because they were amazing. Dickie and Huff, they were two guys that were in my corner the whole way. And they really did support me, but a lot of other teams aren't the same. You know, they just won't give you a look if you've got that Canadian passport as a quarterback. And I understand that the CIS game right now isn't quite at the same level of NCAA as far as, you know, quarterbacks processing and having to make reads and things like that. But, you know, if you've got a coaching staff that's willing to spend just a little bit of time to bring these guys up to speed, you're absolutely going to have guys that can play at that level and guys that have played the Canadian game their whole life. So it's, I think it's a bit of an untapped market, and I'm hoping that guys like Adam are going to get a chance here.
Well, how old are you? 20 what? 26, 25?
27 now.
27 years old. You're exactly what the CFL needs. They need young eyeballs on this league, okay? Guys between 18 and 27, 18 and 30. They already got me. They need younger guys. They need younger guys like you, and you're a very smart guy. How would you – I know you got other things to worry about now, Andrew, but how would you fix the CFL? I've always said we should look at adding more Canadian content. We've already talked about the Canadian quarterback. I really believe you got to – keep the dream alive for Canadians that they could have a chance to play. Therefore, more guys would pay attention. I feel like the dream is dying in certain positions for guys. Quarterback, cornerback. You get the odd Andrew Harris, but you're kind of overlooked at the running back spot too. It seems like if you're not a lineman or a D lineman or a safety or a wide side wideout, they're not looking at you.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It seems like right now there's a bit of a prototype for guys they're looking for, and if you're outside of that, your options are pretty limited. As far as what to do about it, I don't have a good answer, unfortunately. It's a system that right now is dominated by American coaches coming up here, and I think that's going to be part of the solution, is to just have more Canadians in coaching and management sort of positions. And I think that's going to, you know, help at least have a bit more of an inside voice and a push to bring in Canadian content. I think part of the problem is that the American market is just so big and so easy to get guys up here that they just rely on this endless pipeline of Americans coming up, which not a bad thing. There's amazing talent coming up, but it's also, you know, at the end of the day, it's the Canadian Football League, and it's nice to promote our own kids and, have a bit more of a grassroots connection as far as hometown guys playing in hometown cities. And I think, my case, is one of the examples where it's like, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to let this hometown kid play for his team that he grew up watching, and it's like, why not try and promote more of that,
well,
you know?
I tell you what, man, the Stamps are near the top for a reason all the time. You guys share a stadium with them. They have an eye on you guys. They probably had an eye on Andrew Buckley for a long time, which is what other teams should really look at. Hey, let's speak of homegrown talent. Mark Mueller, former Ram quarterback for Regina football lore. He's a coach on the team now. He's moved to the quarterback's room. I know you weren't with him in the quarterback's room, but I've talked to people around the league. We feel, even your old teammate, Bo Levi Mitchell, I think this guy has head coaching material written all over him. Of course, he comes from good football bloodlines too.
Yeah, no, Mark Mueller is absolutely outstanding. He was one of the coaches day one. Him and I got along, and I think, given that we both had a very similar past playing CIS or U Sport as a quarterback, we kind of hit it off immediately, and he was always in my corner, always supportive. And, I got to say, there aren't too many guys in that Stamps coaching room that are putting in more time in the film room and are just more competent than he is. I think he's got a bright future in the CFL, I'll say that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, I know you're, what people might not know is Andrew Buckley still whets his football appetite. You've helped out coach the quarterbacks over with the Dinos the last couple of years, being part of a Vanier Cup winning team. So you know about Adam Sinagra when you speak of him. What do you think of the quarterbacking in the CanWest? And more specifically, what do you think of the quarterbacks at our two universities? You got Josh Donnelly, the young guy coming up here, battle a bit of injury problems early on, maybe got to work a little bit on his weight, but I mean, that's something you can do by hitting the weights. And then you got Mason Nias here, a slinging it from the U of S Huskies, a Regina kid.
Yeah, no, I think CanWest is strong right now. As far as the passing game, the CanWest has always been, I think, leading the forefront in Canada. Josh, I haven't seen a ton of, but he's a young guy that I think has lots of potential, and they're just going to have to put a bit of a team and get the guys around him that are going to help him be successful. Mm-hmm. Nias, I've watched him for a few years now, and he's got a lot of potential in my eyes. I think I'd like to see him, you know, use the legs a little bit more. I think that's where he can be dangerous. But, you know, he's going to grow into a strong team, really. U of S is, I think, always dangerous, and they're guys that we keep our eye on for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup when we get back to the field of play. You must have been pretty happy for those kids that they got that extra year back. It was kind of a head scratcher at the start. I don't know. You can make a case either way for that age amnesty, but how would Andrew Buckley have felt had he not got to play his last year after starting number 8 on the depth chart with the Diamonds back in the day?
Yeah, you know, I think. When they came out with that initial decision, I was just scratching my head. I think that was, such a short-sighted decision to go and pull the fifth year for those guys just because of an age cap. You know, and football seems to be the only sport that has that age cap. And, you know, you got the main guy I think of is Josiah Joseph, who's our Dino starting quarterback mm-hmm. right now, who's going into his last year, and he would have been affected by the age category there. But for him, he's sat on the bench for 4 years behind Sinagra, and this is going to be his year to start. And then, you know, for something like COVID to come in the way and for him to lose his 1 year where he's put in 4 years of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears with his team waiting to start this year, it's, you know, absolutely devastating move to put on a young kid for, you know, a bunch of people sitting around a boardroom to make that choice, I think is just a bit irresponsible in my eyes.
You know, lastly, Andrew, pro football is a dream. It's not a plan, okay? You have a plan to be a doctor. That's a plan. It's nice to live out your dream as a football player, but there are kids listening to this podcast, people that are still playing in university sports. If they're, you know, as a young Canadian quarterback, knowing what you know now, Andrew, and going through the U Sports and then getting to the pinnacle here in our country, quarterback in the Canadian Football League, what kind of advice would you have for that young quarterback that still aspires to maybe play pro ball and get through that small door like Andrew Buckley did? Do you have any words of wisdom for them?
Yeah, you know, I would just say that there are opportunities available, and, you know, don't rule it out. And I guess I kind of came from that category where, for me, it was – never really an option. But if it's something you're thinking of now and it's a dream that you have, like, throw everything you have behind it. Why not? There's chances, and I think it's only going to improve in the next, you know, 5 years, next decade here, that Canadian guys, we're increasing our talent at the quarterback position, and I think that we're really not far off from being on par with the American system. So if it's your dream, there's no reason, absolutely no reason, a Canadian guy coming from a Canadian university can't make it. And it's going to take a consistent effort and a push to elevate our game as a whole. But, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, I think we're going to be setting up for it. So throw everything you have behind it, and I think we're not far off.
How long do you got before you're an official doctor, Andrew?
So we're set to graduate here in end of May, and that's when I'll be crossing the stage and have the MD, hopefully.
Okay, so here we go. You finish the sentence, we'll wrap it up, okay? In 10 years, Andrew Buckley will be...
Oh, that's a tough one. I can barely see 6 months down the road, but in 10 years, Andrew Buckley will be...
A team doctor?
You know, I think that's as close of an estimate as I can put it. I think that'd be an awesome way to... kind of combine my passion for sports and medicine. So, yeah, we'll say that. Andrew Buckley will be a team doctor.
Well, damn, you were a great great player to watch, and the first time I've ever interviewed you, too. A damn good interview. Thanks for this, Andrew. Good luck, and have a good night shift.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, here at Growing the Game with Ballsy, I like to look at things outside of the sporting world in kind of a lighthearted manner because, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and most of it is negative. I've been doing things called quarantunes. Here's another one.
I have no commute. I wear a tracksuit and work from my lazy boy chair. They said stay at home and spend time alone. A pandemic had just been declared. I ordered supplies from Amazon Prime, got Netflix to stay entertained. I got plenty of food and toilet tissue, so I'll just stay in my domain. 'Cause I'm just fine not going places they deliver beer.
Time now for the Pick Six, where we break down six topical stories in the world of sports, or the topical stories I think are making the rounds in the world of sports. And sometimes I use a guest to help me out. And today, once again, back by popular demand, it's our friend Spencer Moore, fullback of the Montreal Alouettes. This is brought to you by Sasilex Football. Deb and Zelko Stefanovic, building the stars of tomorrow today out there in Moose Jaw. They've just kicked off their 7-on-7 league, which is very popular in the United States. And judging by the early reaction here, 20 teams signed up in the Moose Jaw area, and some kids from Regina going out there. It's going to be great. All right, did you play, Spencer, did you play like flag football or anything when you were growing up?
I played a bit of flag football in elementary school. We had a team, but that was pretty much my only experience with football until I started playing in grade 10.
I think it's a great, like, either the one locally here in Regina or the 7-on-7 Zelko's running in Moose. I think it's a great way to introduce kids to the game.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good way to get kids comfortable and familiar with the skill set required for football, and then, you can ease them into the tackle side of things. I'm a big fan of putting kids in tackle a little bit later, so if they start with flag football when they're younger, it's great.
Spencer, how much do you think video games help kids? Like, you know, in terms of Madden and learning the plays, and then maybe that transforms into Sunday when they're listening to the announcer talk.
I don't think it helps too much. I think that when kids are playing video games, they're not necessarily focused on the offensive playbook side of things. They're looking to do the big plays and all that stuff. It doesn't hurt, but I don't think that it goes too far along the lines of getting familiar with the game.
Spencer, you had a workout today. It's an interesting time. You got to book your workouts in. What's that like, booking in and trying to fit in your workout?
Yeah, it's tough because you only get an hour time slot to work out, and because everyone's booking in, they're only taking 45 people at a time, so you got to book a week in advance, and today I happened to go to the one that I didn't book, so I had to race over to the other one to make sure I could finish my workout.
She's a weird off season, isn't it? Like, in terms of working out, it's an extended off season. Is that, do you have to kind of bust out of that malaise, because you'd be banging heads for real? So there's got to be kind of that lull period, even for a pro athlete.
Yeah, you know what? It's for sure weird. I mean, just even watching NFL Sunday this past Sunday. Really, really missing the game a lot. You can lift weights and do all that stuff all you want, but there's nothing like putting those pads on and playing. So it's been strange for sure.
Let's talk about NFL Sunday, number one on the Pick Six with Spencer Moore. Who's the more overrated quarterback, Dak Prescott of the Cowboys, Phil Rivers of the Colts, or Matt Ryan, Matty Ice of the Atlanta Falcons?
You know what? I wouldn't even put Dak Prescott in that conversation, as he's quite a bit younger than those other two. Of those two, I'd probably say Phil Rivers. I know that he's got a good statistical career in terms of yards and touchdowns and things like that, but he's never really advanced too far into the playoffs. And Matt Ryan did get the Falcons to the Super Bowl a few years ago. We all know what happened in that one, but I'd say Phil Rivers.
I'm a big Phil Rivers guy. He did though get them to an AFC Championship game, and he played with no ACL in his knee, which I'm thinking, as I know Spencer Moore, you'd have a lot of respect for a dude like that to play on one leg in an AFC Championship game, a game they almost beat the Patriots in 21-12.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't question the guy's toughness and heart. That's not to be questioned, but I think he's a bit overrated in my opinion.
As you you answered the question, so you were correct in your assumption. That's what you feel. Who will be better this year, Brady or Newton?
Are you talking statistically better or win-loss better?
How do you judge football? You're a player. How would you judge? Judge it through Spencer Moore's eyes for me.
Okay, so I'm going to say win-loss. I think that the Patriots and Cam Newton are going to end up better than the Bucks.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you think Brady is, Father Time's going to catch up with Terrific Tom?
Yeah, I don't know. It's again, it's been a weird start to the season for sure with all these guys in different places, and watching Tom on Sunday, it didn't look like the Tom of old. And obviously Cam and the Patriots offense with Bill Belichick, they were doing the things that they've never done before, and they managed to have some success, granted against Miami, but
yeah.
I think that they're going to go a bit further.
So that's number two on the Pick Six with Spencer Moore and Ballsy. I'll lump this into number two as well. Which young quarterback sees the field first, Tua in Miami or Justin Herbert in Los Angeles? Because the Chargers barely got by a pretty brutal Bengals team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Justin Herbert. I was watching the HBO Hard Knocks, and I got to see a little bit of the inside scoop of training camp and got to see him working and stuff, and it looks like he's got a pretty good chance to get some playing time this year. I like Tyrod Taylor, but I don't think he's the guy, and I think there's going to come a time where they have to give the young kid a shot. And Tua's still dealing with injury issues from that hip problem he had last year, so I think it's going to be Herbert.
As a guy on a field with the guy you know isn't the guy at quarterback, is it? I know you're a pro, you're making money, you want to keep your job, but mentally, is it hard to buy into a guy that isn't really the guy when the other guy's in waiting?
Yeah, it's tough for sure. I mean, you support your guys as best you can, and at the end of the day, I got to go out and do my job, but it's frustrating at times when there's people that are leading the way that aren't doing the right things right, but they still want to be treated like QB1 and they want to be QB1. So it is frustrating for sure. But again, I got to do my job and worry about what I got to do first.
Number three on Ballsy's Pick Six for the SAS Selects football program with Spencer Moore. Mapletron is the nickname for Canadian Chase Claypool out of the Steelers. He had a pretty good first game there on that Monday Night Football, including that real lovely toe tapper on the sidelines that got the Steelers rolling offensively. He's out of BC. What's the best nickname you've heard, Spencer Moore?
Best nickname. That's tough. I mean, there's so many guys that have different nicknames. I think like Darian Durant, we call him Dubs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good nickname. I think that's probably one of my favorites for sure.
Do you have a nickname? Have you ever had a nickname?
Yeah, in university they used to call me Big Easy, so that was my nickname then.
And why was that?
Because I was big and I made it look easy.
Okay. You always got to explain that. Spencer,
oh, yeah.
Spencer, number four on the Pick Six. Do you agree that if you don't put up about 21 points a game on offense, a.k.a. three touchdowns, with the way the rules are called in both leagues, then you've got some offensive problems? Like, I would not want to be a defender in either league right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the rules are slated for the offense, so if you're not putting up points, then you're not going to win many games. I think that, the old adage that defense wins championships, it can hold true, especially late in the season with weather and things like that and fatigue. But as offense, you got to score at least three a game and give your guys a chance.
Besides quarterback, which we all acknowledge is the most important position in football, besides like a special teams guy going down making tackles, right, Spencer? Wink, wink. What position would you spend money on if you were a GM?
I think I'd go left tackle. Along with that, I'd put money into the whole offensive line. I think that, in an offensive game, it starts with those guys up front. Defensively, I'm putting money into my defensive end. Guys that can create havoc as a defensive end or a defensive lineman, for that matter, can really be game changers. We've seen that with Willie Jefferson in Winnipeg. So definitely offensive line or defensive line.
To me, this is how I would go in the NFL because, they've got one less guy. You have one extra in the CFL. I would put my money on defense at least into a safety that could cover or come down in the box and tackle. And in the CFL, a defensive halfback, if you have a guy with some good size that can run and cover, he could make a lot of cash in the CFL, quote unquote.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I look at some of these guys, man, especially in the CFL. Some of these Americans that come up here, Spencer, they must look at it like they haven't seen pre-snap motion. The guy gets a running start, and he's covering way more field. It's like trying to cover on an airport tarmac.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you watch a really good halfback or a cornerback, for that matter, in the CFL, you watch their film, they stand out because they're, head and shoulders above the next guy.
Hey, you said your nickname was the Big Easy. Which guy do you marvel at in football, either side of the border, when you watch him play, that things come to him so easy?
I'm kind of biased. I watch the tight ends a lot, and just the way that these guys can move at their size, it's amazing. I mean, I'm 240 pounds in season, and I'm 20, 30, maybe 40 pounds less than some of these guys. And, I don't want to downgrade myself, but they're faster than me. They're moving better than me. So those guys are really special.
I appreciate your honesty. I look at Aaron Rodgers, 36, man. I said this. If the Packers, all the Packer fans can hope for now, like he broke up with Danica Patrick, okay? They drafted Jordan Love to replace him. All they need is his dog to go missing or something like that, and they'll win the Super Bowl for sure, because that guy played with a chip in week one. And did you see some of those dimes he was dropping? 36, rolling out of the pocket. I don't think anybody in the history of the NFL has thrown it better on the run than Aaron Rodgers.
No, I completely agree. The way he played on Sunday was something to marvel at. I mean, like you said, he's kind of done. He had some issues this offseason that they were counting them out. But people forget that last year they were, I think they were 12-4, and they were a good team still last year. So now he's got Devontae Parker again, who's, I think, one of the best in the league, and he's playing at such a high level. So they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So no, yeah, it was 13-3 actually. It was even better, and they ended up losing. But yeah, and 25 touchdowns and 2 picks. Like, how do you critique that? That's unbelievable.
Exactly. The
fans add so much to the game. We see that here. Like, yeah, I get what the NFL is trying to do, and they're doing a pretty good job pumping in the crowd noise, although I think it's a little loud for the TV broadcast. But what's it like to run out of the tunnel at Mosaic, first off, as a home player? What's that like?
I can't even really put it into words. I mean, when I look back on my career, there's going to be certain things that I specifically remember, and that's going to be one of them. Hearing the Bring 'Em Out chants, and you know, just having the smoke and the music, and the, you know, everyone's all fired up and ready. There's nothing like it, for sure.
Yeah, and as a visitor, I always like to ask guys when they come here. It matters here. Like, you go to Toronto, there's nobody there. It's a great COVID stadium because nobody goes to the games already. But you come to Mosaic Stadium, the fireworks are going off. You're on the sideline. The Riders come up. That's got to get you jacked up as a visitor. What's it like to be on the other side?
Oh, you know what? I've only played there once as a visitor, and it was memorable for sure. I had tons of family and friends from SAS there watching me, and, you know, it was my first game back there after being traded, so it was a great feeling. There was fans in the crowd that had recognized me that were wearing their Rider stuff, but they were still dapping me up, so it was a great experience.
Number 6 in Ballsy's pick 6, a guy you'd love because he's well into his 60s, and he's a sharp dresser. That's Bucks coach Bruce Arians, and you're a great dresser too. Now, Arians called out Tom Brady. Is it better to have a coach call you out or give you over-the-top praise like Arians does? Or is it better to have Belichick, who doesn't throw you under the bus but also doesn't praise you either? What do you like better?
I think that Belichick's approach is better because I'm sure that behind closed doors he's calling you out, but I think that for a lot of guys that gets to them, you know, better. That's how you develop a closer relationship, when you're saying things to me instead of just to the media. I definitely like Belichick's approach, and I guess, you know, it's a proven method for him.
Have you ever experienced this? Randy Moss said when he went to the New England Patriots, he was in a meeting once there with all the guys, and Tom Brady got absolutely ripped by Bill Belichick, and he just took it. And Moss said, right there, he said, I better pick up my socks, because if Tom Brady can get ripped, I can get ripped. Have you ever been in a locker room where a star player was ripped and it kind of sent a message to everybody, and you're like, holy cow, I'm sitting up in my chair now?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, some of the better teams I've been on have had instances where, you know, our star guys didn't do what they're supposed to do, and they got told. And again, it sends that message to everyone else that no one's above the team. And at the end of the day, our goal is to win, regardless of what kind of stats you're putting up. And, you know, like you said, you stiffen up a little bit, and you know, you kind of shake your head and say, okay, if he can get it, then I sure as hell can get it. So, yeah, for sure, I've been on those teams.
And do you watch the guy, the star guy that gets ripped, do you watch to see how he responds and how he carries himself? Like, do you have eyes on him?
Well, I think that the guys that have been doing it for a long time and are stars for a reason, they're okay with that. They almost take that, and they wear that sort of proudly, because it shows that they're about the team as well, regardless of what they're making and regardless of what their, you know, their situation is on the team. So the way they handle it will radiate to the young guys, and, you know, if the old guys are taking it well, then the young guys will learn how to do it too.
Who is/was your favorite coach in the pros?
You know what? I think that my favorite coach probably would have been Bob Dice. That being said, I've had great relationships with all my special teams coaches, whether it be Craig Dickinson or Mickey Donovan in Montreal. So seems to have a good relationship with the special teams guys.
Yeah, those guys should get more cracks at being head coaches, don't you think? Dickie and I have talked about that. They've got to bring everybody together from all facets of the team and make them buy in to be on special teams, because let's be honest, not everybody loves special teams like Spencer Moore.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they're the coaches that have an intimate relationship with everyone on the team, because in special teams meetings, you got every guy, every body type sitting in there listening, and they develop a relationship with them. So I definitely think that special teams guys deserve more of a shot at being the head guy.
Are pregame speeches overrated?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, sometimes you can tell if it's a bit phony or it's a bit corny. And as a pro, I don't necessarily need a big rah-rah speech, but I like having the head coach address us before we go out, just to sort of sum up, you know, what our goals are and, you know, what we're here to do. I don't think that they're overrated at all, actually. And quite frankly, I love a good pregame speech.
What's the best pregame speech you've been a part of? Can you think of one?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My Vanier Cup speech in 2011 from head coach Steph Potasik was something real special. If people are interested, they can actually see that on YouTube. It's from the Vanier Cup 2011. It was amazing. It just it wasn't too long, but it was to the point, and it was just sort of letting the guys know that we were all here in this together. You know, he loved us, and to go out and do what we came to do.
Okay, time now for our extra point with Spencer Moore as we wrap up. Those were Ballsy's pick six with Spencer Moore. Now, you have to wonder if NFL players are social distancing on the field, because after week one, offensive holding penalties are way down. In fact, they plummeted to their lowest week one level in 20 years. Officials only threw 18 flags for offensive holding. That's a drop of 78% from week one last year. Spencer Moore, what's the one penalty that you absolutely detest?
You know what? It's tough. I think that, you know, as a special teamer, especially in the Canadian game, the no yards rule is not one of my favorites. I get it, and I appreciate what it does for the return game, but as a guy that's going down and covering punts, it's frustrating because it's such a close call most of the times, and, you know, more times than not, I think that it might be the wrong call. So that's definitely not my favorite.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either. We can get into other ones as we go along, because you've been so good. You're going to be a reoccurring guest, if you wouldn't mind.
Hey, I would love to do that. It's always great catching up and talking. I think that we share a lot of the same viewpoints, so it's good to have a good conversation.
It's okay not to share the same viewpoints, too. Like, I was only in Hamilton once last year when I was applying for a job. I want you next week to tell me something good about Hamilton that nobody else knows, okay? Hamilton's like Winnipeg and Regina. Those three cities in Canada, at least as far as the CFL goes, they get a bad rap. So I want you to give me something good in Hamilton next week. Thanks for this, Spencer. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me, Ballsy.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.